What is up, basketball fans? Welcome to the NBA Outlet. With me, as always, my co-host, Corey Waldron. Corey, how are we doing?
Doing good. Final three, right? Yeah, final three of this preview series. Can't wait for this to be done and for the NBA season to start. But we're not done yet. Not yet.
We're grinding through. We're almost there. NBA season right around the corner. And as you guys know, we'll be getting back to our regular shows 2 times a week. You can check out the outlet, sometimes even more, and obviously a ton of other podcasts on the OGG network. But just a quick shout out. You know where to find the show: iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OGGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube. And we're also running a promotion with FOCO. If you buy 2 NBA items, you get 10% off with OTG NBA 10 discount code. So be sure to check that out. They have some really great stuff, from NBA bobbleheads to t-shirts to apparel to whatever sports-related thing you can think of. But getting into the Spurs, and before we talk next season, we're going to look back at last year. 48-34, 7th in the Western Conference, and they lost to Denver in the first round in 7. Summarize it all in one emoji.
For me, I use the guy who's got like his one hand out, who's just like kind of just saying like, you know, like it's whatever, or not like it's whatever, but like I'm still here kind of thing. I'm not really sure how you describe the emoji, but this is once again a San Antonio team that I want to say at parts of last season were written off. Especially when DeJounte Murray tore his ACL going into the season, there was some worry. Bringing in DeMar DeRozan, there's an obviously turbulent or perplexing kind of thought around DeMar DeRozan. Is he a very good NBA player? Is he just a non-efficient mid-range shooter in today's NBA? Could you rely on some other guys? Is this the year the Spurs finally missed the playoffs? And once again, they were like, hey, look, we're still here, and we brought a very good team to 7 games in the first round.
Yeah, I went with just like, not the full smile, but kind of that like slight smile, like a sneaky smile almost, where you're like kind of happy because, like you said, people were sleeping on them. They didn't have an amazing season. They did make the playoffs. Guys kind of improved. Obviously, after the DeJounte Murray injury, the expectations weren't so high. And I mean, they had a real shot to beat Denver in the first round. But biggest positive takeaway of last year?
I think the biggest positive takeaway for me would be just DeMar DeRozan. You know, when you trade away Kawhi Leonard and you're bringing in a guy like DeMar DeRozan, you're not going to fill the shoes of a Kawhi Leonard by any means. But I thought what DeMar DeRozan did overall to his game, obviously the three-point shot was non-existent once again for his game last year, but averaging 21 points per game, being this, you know, 0.1 less than LaMarcus Aldridge, shooting 48% from the field, 83% from the free throw line, but also him being more of a playmaker, averaging 6.2 assists, 6 rebounds per game, playing almost 35 minutes per game. We saw what I thought was one of the more complete years DeMar DeRozan has had in the NBA. I think obviously playing underneath a head coach like Popovich can get even more out of you. And I know the net rating may say otherwise to his play at times, but I was really impressed with what DeMar DeRozan did going into a new system and trying to fill the shoes of a guy like Kawhi Leonard. I was really impressed.
Yeah, DeRozan had a good season. You know, it's kind of, you know what you're getting with DeMar. He's an all-star. He's a good shooting guard. He's not ever going to be one of these top 10 players. He's not going to lead you to a championship, but it'll do his job. And, you know, he took another level as a playmaker last year. They kind of relied on him to be a point guard a little bit more. I want Derek White. I think he's a guy that kind of came out of nowhere and popped off for them, gave him a real two-way guard, had some nice moments in the playoffs, and also making Team USA. So anytime where you have some young talent taking another step, I think that's important for the franchise. But biggest negative takeaway of last year?
The biggest negative takeaway, I mean, maybe the fact that Lonnie Walker never got going as a rookie. There was a little bit of a buzz around Lonnie Walker, but, you know, not getting a lot of time, dealing with some injuries. It wasn't his time to shine yet. And losing DeJounte Murray, who was so, there was a lot of hype last year. I think there's once again, hype around him this year. I know there was a possession showing him locking up James Harden already. So I think the injury bug to some of your young talent going into the year was a little bit upsetting.
100%. I think with Lonnie Walker, like anytime a rookie starts a season with an injury and he wasn't really good to go until actually 2019, it just kind of hampers his growth. And it's almost, I don't want to say a wasted season, but you don't get that full experience that you'd hope for a rookie guy. And like you mentioned, DeJounte Murray was a guy going into the season a lot of people had picked for most improved player. And then being out the whole year just kind of sucks for a young guy, especially tearing your ACL. But moving on from there, our OGG power rankings have been coming at number 14. Do you think this is fair, too high, or too low?
I think it's a little too high.
Yeah.
But I think overall, you know, it's decently fair because it's hard to, gauge the kind of impact that DeJounte Murray will have once he's, you know, playing actual NBA games. Because you know what you're getting, as we mentioned, with DeRozan and Aldridge. Lonnie Walker will be healthy. You mentioned Derek White's pop-off year. Brian Forbes is also another guy who was really good for them last year. Rudy Gay having a career year. So I think it's fair, but I think the ranking's a little bit high, but it's trying to gauge how good DeJounte Murray will be and how fast.
Yeah, I think it's almost like a respect pick here where, like, you don't want to put the Spurs in the bottom half of the NBA. You want to put them in the top 15. Right. And I think, like, their range is anywhere from, like, maybe 10th to 18th. Like, they don't have an extremely high ceiling, but they don't also have a very low floor unless they were to make trades or something like that, because they do still have DeRozan. They still do have Aldridge, Murray coming back, Derek White. Popovich is still the coach, so you're always going to have a chance to make the playoffs with him. So I think 14 is okay for right now, but they could be lower because there is a lot of question marks for the Spurs to an extent.
Definitely.
Now, getting to the off-season's draft picks, they drafted Luka Šamić, Keldon Johnson, Kendarian Weatherspoon. Obviously, we don't necessarily know a ton about these guys. Luka being an international player that kind of rose off draft boards a little bit, seemed like a real Spurs pick. But any thoughts on these fellas?
I think Keldon Johnson's an interesting guy going in. Last year with Kentucky, averaged 13 points per game, almost six rebounds on shooting splits of 46, 38, and 70. But again, I don't think we're going to see any of these guys playing a lot of minutes this season.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you need to earn those minutes in San Antonio. But getting to free agency and trades, they brought in Damari Carroll, Trey Lyles, Derek Lawson. Favorite move out of this bunch?
I'm going to say Damari Carroll. I mean, anytime you add a veteran like Carroll, who I feel like just like slides perfectly into what the San Antonio Spurs are all about. Not a me guy at all, a very team-based guy, a guy who can add some perimeter shooting, because I think that's been their weakest part, is they just need more perimeter shooting. Damari Carroll can give that. So I like the move of Carroll at the wing. But I also want to say, like, an honorable mention to Trey Lyles, because I think even though it didn't work out in Denver, there is something to be said for a guy who can spread the floor a little bit at the four. You know, I know last year he only shot 25% from three, but he did shoot 38% the first year in Denver, 38% in his rookie season. So there is some shooting there, and I think that's what the San Antonio Spurs were really trying to add this offseason, is some more perimeter shooters.
Yeah, I think Lyles just needs more player development. Like, he just needs to polish his game, possibly get in a little bit better shape, improve defensively, kind of continue to improve that three-point shot and really turn into a true stretch four. But Damari's a great veteran to have on your team. Obviously not the same player he once was, but he'll give you that 3-and-D. He'll give you that veteran presence, that leadership, and he'll help you win some games. He's not going to be, you know, a game changer on every play, but he's going to make a couple plays each game that are going to be improving winning basketball.
Yeah.
Now, players out, Davis Bertans, Dante Cunningham, Dontis Montiones, and Quincy Pondexter.
Yeah, I think you're missing Davis Bertans. You know, we mentioned him a little bit on the Washington Wizards preview. This is a guy who shot 42% from the field last year for them. We mentioned perimeter shooter. This was one of their best guys from deep last year. Maybe their best, I think, percentage-wise. A guy who also could get to the line, 88% from the free throw line. Also, relatively young, you know, 26, going to be 27. I think you're missing Bertans a little bit. But again, none of these guys, I think, move the needle too far.
And to put some more details on that, Bertans was traded because they believed they were going to sign Marcus Morris and they need to open up cap space.
Right.
And then Morris backed out of the contract and signed with the Knicks, which is obviously kind of taboo for NBA contracts, but that's for a whole other day. So I think, you know, Bertans was a player they liked. They signed in the previous season. And I think other than that, the other guys really just were not necessarily good NBA players. No disrespect to them. But biggest team X factor for the Spurs, non-player and non-health.
I think the biggest team X factor for the Spurs will be their three-point shooting. Last year, they shot a league-low 25 threes a game. So, once again, you know, and obviously, Coach Popovich kind of has this mantra of, like, I hate the three ball. You know, I hate what it's done to the game. And, you know, you can make an argument that, yeah, it's not great that, you know, we're relying on you know, in transitions, for example, if it's a three-on-one, there's a guy going to the three-point line, they're taking the three rather than the wide-open dunk. And Popovich, I'm sure, hates that. That's how the game is developed. But it's got to be three-point shooting. This was the best three-point shooting team last year as well, to keep in mind. They shot 39%, but again, only shooting 25 a game. You're just not going to win a lot of games in today's NBA if you're not shooting a lot of threes. And we've even seen this in preseason. The team so far in preseason have been shooting a lot more threes than last season, the year before. And both of those preseasons in years past where you've seen a raise in the three-point attempts in preseason, generally in the regular season, there's also been a raise in 3 points attempted. So as the league continues to go towards more 3 points being taken, the Spurs have to follow suit and start shooting from deep. And I think they brought in guys to try and address that, but that will be something to watch.
Yeah, and I think just like team improvement in shooting, just some of the guys being better from three. Obviously, you need DeMar DeRozan to be better from three. He's been on and off there. His last year in Toronto, he looked like he improved, and last year in San Antonio, not good at all. So I think three-point shooting is extremely important. It's just simple math. You know, one basket is worth two, one basket is worth three. So I also would look at, you know, player development and just who's going to be that guy that takes a step forward. Like, they need someone to be better. They need someone to become almost a fringe all-star type player. We know what DeRozan's going to be. We know Aldridge is going to be. Does DeJounte Murray pop off? Does Derek White take another step? You mentioned Forbes. Like, is there somebody on this roster that's really going to jump this season that gives them the extra firepower they really need?
Yeah, no, definitely. Player development will be something to watch because, as we kind of mentioned too, like, being so young, a lot of the guys on this roster, like Aldridge, Gay, DeRozan, they are on, I don't want to say the backside yet, but couple years from now, those won't be the guys you're leaning on going forward. So you need to see who is the next wave of Spurs to kind of lead the charge into the next era.
Yeah, like LaMarcus Aldridge has already played his best basketball. Rudy Gay probably has played his best basketball. DeMar DeRozan possibly has, or he's right on the cusp of not being at that level anymore. So starting lineup, though, on opening night.
So for me, the starting lineup will be DeJounte Murray, Derek White, DeMar DeRozan, LaMarcus Aldridge. I had LaMarcus Aldridge starting at the four, but that's bad.
I think that's what they'll do, though. I honestly
because I have Jakob Poeltl starting at the five, but I don't know if they're gonna go because I know Aldridge did play a lot of five last year. But on paper, I put LaMarcus at the four and Jakob Poeltl at the five to start games.
I think that's what they will start with. I personally would start Aldridge at the five and start Rudy Gay at the four, or even Damari Keller or somebody, just so you're a little bit smaller, more spacing, more three-point shooting, which we kind of advocated for on this show. But player to watch on this team?
DeJounte Murray.
Yeah.
You know, there was, as we mentioned, a lot of player, most improved player of the year buzz going into last season, and we were robbed of that in a lot of ways. And now we're getting to see him this year. This is a guy who, you know, LeBron James, for example, seems to be a huge DeJounte Murray fan. I know when he got hurt, he's already posted about him at some point this year as well, or this offseason. We've seen the highlight of him, you know, clamping up James Harden, then going coast to coast for a layup. I think DeJounte Murray has the possibility to be the face of this franchise as we talk about that next era of Spurs basketball. So for me, it's DeJounte Murray.
Yeah, I think DeJounte Murray is the pick right here because I mentioned as my X factor, who's going to take that step? And if I had one guy to pick who could take a big jump this year, would be DeJounte Murray. Obviously, missing all of last season, trying to get back into action is going to take a little time, but he does have a very good skill set and he can really pop off. Also, Derek White is a guy I also think, you know, you want to watch and see how he grows from that Team USA experience.
Definitely.
I do have a quick question, though. Do you think DeMar DeRozan could be traded this season?
Yes. I think we already heard rumblings about that, actually.
Yeah, in the offseason, there was talk about him being traded because they wanted to sign Bogdanovich. Then nothing came of it. Then there was also another rumor that they were talking contract extension. So it's like both ends of the spectrum right here, but I think the Spurs are almost unsure.
Yeah, if I had to, like, give it a percentage, I'd say there's, like, probably a 30% chance they move him. Because I think the biggest issue with trying to move DeRozan is the fact that this year he's making 27. He is expiring at the end of next year, but it is a player option next year for $27 million. But again, like, you know, if you're not going to re-sign DeRozan, which I don't think the Spurs are going to want to sign DeRozan, you're going to be looking to move him either this year or next year. Again, the destination of where he would end up, I'm not so sure about. But I think they would like to move on from DeRozan.
Yeah, I could see it too, and that would make the trade a little bit more likely. And the player option for DeRozan is interesting. Like, he's not going to get more than 27 a year. So maybe he accepts that player option, but then also he could be looking for a long-term deal. There's been some talk about the salary cap possibly changing with the whole China situation, so we'll see how that kind of goes. And it could impact a lot of teams and their front office decisions moving forward. But what's worst case for the Spurs next year?
I think worst case for the Spurs would be they finish, you know, outside of the playoffs. We finally see the Spurs miss the playoffs. You know, maybe they're, you know, 39, 40 wins. They're competitive, but it's just not enough. And the Western Conference has gotten a little bit too tough for them. And then they have a lot of questions going into the offseason.
Yeah, 100% agree. think worst case, they don't make the playoffs. Maybe DeRozan's leaving. Then, you know, Aldridge is obviously up there in age, like we mentioned. And none of these young guys look like they can be a cornerstone. And all of a sudden, you don't really have a ton of young talent in-house to kind of move forward with. But best case scenario.
I think best case scenario is, I mean, it's still best case scenario isn't like anything wow. It's them being in the middle of the Western Conference seeding, like maybe a 5 seed. You know, we know the West, we've been saying this almost like all previous series, the West is going to come down to the last game of the season. So they could go from, let's say, being a 7 seed with on game 81 to a 5 seed at the end of game 82. So I think being in the middle of the Western Conference standings would be best case scenario.
Yeah, I think best case would maybe just be them grabbing that 4 seed and something they get lucky, because all these teams in the West are bringing in so many new pieces where the two main components for the Spurs are still the same in DeRozan and Aldridge, and we know about that coaching staff. So maybe they're able to be consistent and get some wins early on where everyone is trying to find how to gel together. They're already doing okay. But what's your actual prediction? Where do they finish in the division?
My actual prediction is 45 wins. I have them finishing second in the division behind the Houston Rockets. I don't have them missing the playoffs. I don't think they get out of the first round, but I think once again, the Spurs, I'm not going to say they miss the playoffs until they miss the playoffs. I'm not going to bet against Coach Popovich. I have a rule of like not betting against LeBron James, and Coach Popovich is right up there with guys you just don't bet against.
Yeah, I think I'd have them second in the division as well. There's a chance, though, they could fall behind one of the younger teams if they really pop off and they struggle, but I think they'll be fine. 46 wins, low playoff seed, first round out, like you mentioned, but any other topics you want to cover Spurs-wise?
How long do you think Coach Popovich has left?
You know, it's funny. I was going to ask you the same thing. Honestly, I think a lot could impact on how the season goes and how the team looks. Like, he's not going to want to stay around for probably a rebuild situation or a team that doesn't have a chance to at least be competitive and win games. So if all of a sudden the direction of the team is looking bad, maybe he's like, all right, it's time to wrap it up, or even move into a front office type role where he doesn't have to get into the grind quite as much.
Yeah, I think we're on like a year-to-year basis with Coach Popovich at this point in time. And I think if they miss the playoffs, that'll probably be when we have the most, not concerned, but we have maybe the biggest probability of him walking away from the game. As we mentioned, getting up there in age. And like you said, he's not going to want to go through a rebuild, not at his age. He doesn't want to go through a bunch of young guys, have like a 35 to 30 win season if he doesn't have to. So, yeah, I think that the time is certainly ticking. But I also would say, you know, bringing in Tim Duncan, we know Becky Hammel's there, Hammonds and Messina, right?
Yeah, they have another guy. I'm not even going to try to mess up his
right.
name. So.
But, you know, there's a lot of guys who would be up for that job. So I think that's intriguing. But, yeah, I think we're on a year-to-year basis with Popovich right now.
And to be honest, I think it might make the most sense for the Spurs to rebuild this upcoming offseason, or at least try to get younger and maybe move on from Aldridge and move on from DeRozan and possibly build around DeJounte Murray and try to get a young forward in here and just open up some cap space for that to happen.
I agree. I mean, so I'll give you another question. Who do you think is more likely to be traded, LaMarcus Aldridge or DeMar DeRozan?
It's a great question. I don't think either guy is extremely attractive, in my opinion. Like, if I'm a contender, I don't know of either guy is enough to push me over the top just because of the games they play. I would say maybe Aldridge makes a little bit more sense, maybe for a team like Boston who doesn't have a center.
Oh, yes, that's exactly what I was thinking. Also, just to note his contract, he does have a 15% trade kicker, but this year he makes $26 million. Next year it declines to $24 million. So it does go lower, and he is a free agent at the end of next season.
Yeah, and it's not that bad considering that team of maybe it's something in the offseason they're able to work out a sign and trade for Jaylen Brown, because the Spurs have had interest in him in the past. Obviously, defensive-minded guy, and he has all-star potential. But who knows? I mean, I'm not sure if there's many teams that would really trade for DeRozan and think he's going to push them over the top.
Oh, I agree with you. Yeah, no, 100%. The fact that we mentioned three-point shooting being the team issue, DeMar DeRozan not being a three-point shooter, the biggest issue with him as he enters the prime to the second half of his career is what happens when he loses that athleticism to get to the rim? What becomes of his game when you can't rely on your jump shot and you can't get to the rim? So he's a scary player if you're going to look to lock him up and trade for him.
His decline could come very quickly.
Yes.
I would also look maybe at a team like Orlando to go after DeRozan. Would be a potential perimeter closer for them, where they don't really have a go-to scorer there. But obviously, the three-point is going to be the question for him.
Right.
And if they went full rebuild this year, even, they have a lot of tradable contracts. Like Rudy Gay would attract, I think, a contender. Damari Carroll would attract a contender. Like, there's some guys in this team that could provide value.
Yeah, I think Rudy Gay was a guy last year. There were some rumblings of maybe like teams calling to see if he was available because he had a career year, you know, shooting 40% from three. Really bounced back after having that ruptured Achilles a couple years ago.
And that gives me confidence for another player in this league.
Yeah.
And they did overpay him probably a touch, and that was a surprise. A lot of people thought Rudy Gay would be out of San Antonio and going to more of a contending type situation, but they're able to keep him. Obviously, they do treat their players well in San Antonio. But league pass wise, where do you rate them 1 through 10?
I give them a 5.5. You know, Spurs basketball isn't necessarily the most fun basketball to watch, especially if they're not going to be moving with the same pace of the rest of the league, shooting threes. I don't necessarily find DeMar DeRozan's game that appealing. LaMarcus Aldridge as well. Those are very good players. They put up good numbers. They do their job, but they're not necessarily intriguing. Some of the young guys I'm intrigued by, DeJounte Murray, as we've kind of mentioned throughout this pod. You know, you mentioned Derek White. I think it's another guy to watch. Brian Forbes, I think, has some nice potential to be like a key role player going forward to his three-point shooting. But again, when you look at the league pass ratings and some other teams, there's just nothing super flashy about the Spurs, but that's also just how the Spurs operate.
Yeah, I went with a 5 here, so pretty similar to you. Just not one of those teams that's going to pop, but they're a respectable team. They play good basketball. You're not going to be like, oh, these turnover happy, you know, just making bad plays left and right. They're going to be high basketball IQ plays all over the court, but TV show comparison for San Antonio.
So this one was a little bit tough for me as we get down to these last few teams we have. The shows, I'm running out. So I picked The Simpsons.
Which, oh, my God, I picked the same show.
You're lying.
I swear to God.
That might be the first time we've ever done that.
Yeah.
Okay, so I went with The Simpsons because it's a steady show. It's been out there for 25-plus years. Like, my dad used to watch that growing up. I remember, like, he used to have them, like, taped on VHS, and I would watch them. They're consistently funny. You know what you're going to get on a given night. You know, they're consistent. They're steady. They're always in, like, I think among, like, animated comedy shows, they probably remain in the top 10 or at least the top 15, I'd assume. Because I'm sure there's a lot of comedy shows out there.
And you don't stay on TV this long without being good.
Exactly. And that's exactly the San Antonio Spurs. You know, 20 straight years to the playoffs. So Simpsons, to me, was an easy comparison. Was that your reasoning?
Yeah, it really was a similar thing. Like, they're consistent. I would just add in that, you know, when we were younger, it was kind of more popular, and they're probably a little bit better. As it's gotten older and been on TV longer, they've kind of declined slightly, and that's been the same with the Spurs. They're not quite the championship team they were when we were younger. They're more of just a consistent playoff team, where I think the Simpsons are just more of a consistent, you know, comedy show where it's like, hey, I'm going to watch it, but I'm not going to go out of my way to watch it all the time. Like, hey, I'm still going to enjoy it. I'm still going to enjoy the Spurs, but I'm not going to, like, die over it if I miss it.
For sure. So on pod 28 of the preview series, we picked the same TV show finally.
Hey, that is too funny, and obviously along the same reasons why. But Corey, as always, a pleasure talking hoops. Big thanks to everybody listening. Like I said, you can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube. And also, like I said, head to FOCO, use OTGNBA10, buy 2 NBA items, and get 10% off.
Do it. Peace out, knuckleheads.